Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome, all you beautiful people out there. Glad you joined me today for No BS Bishop Alive to Love. I'm Randy Dean, as my wife introduced me. I never, ever take for granted the pleasure of your company, the honor that you would choose to join me at these times on WPCA Radio. It's a pleasure to be here. I want to jump right into the subject material today, and as the title of my broadcast is given to being Alive to Love, No BS Bishop, I'm headed right square into the bullseye of defining, explaining, discussing, pondering, and even rolling the mystery of love around and making sure that we are all challenged with this highest of all priorities. There is no greater value, no greater priority, no greater challenge in life than to be a person who is alive to love. To be alive to love in your vocation, to be alive to love in your family, to be alive to love in your faith communities, to be alive to love at work, to be alive to love with whatever it is you do is the challenge of the human existence. The only credible answer to human existence is that we are alive to love. The only credible priority for life is to be alive to love. There is no higher goal. What is your dream in life? Well, I would challenge all of you listening, make your dream to be a lover of all things, a lover of all people, a lover of God, a lover of your neighbor, a lover of your enemy. Yeah, that's something Jesus said. I challenge daily to make sure that when I discover an enemy, even if it's a slight enemy or perhaps a great enemy, then I'm going to have to plumb some depths in me to discover something about love that is able to manage an enemy. Not long ago, my wife and I discovered a neighbor of ours. It was just half a mile from us, had passed away and had been dead for 2 years before we knew it. It was shocking. It was sad. And we decided right then that we had to change our attitude about loving our neighbor and loving them as ourselves. It's an example of what I'm saying here. There's no greater priority than to be alive to love. 1 John 4, verse 16 through 19 is something that I'm zeroed in on. I want to read it to you, then I'm going to run for some points of reference from it. Here we go. 1 John 4, 16. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Listen to that very carefully. Turn your own Bible. Look it up on Google. Find it somewhere and read 1 John 4:16. God is love. The one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us, that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There's no other way to have confidence in the judgment, whether it's a daily judgment of right or wrong or the ultimate judgment of all life. Love is the answer to that. I tell people all the time, if you're worried about heaven and hell, you're worried about what's going to come when you die, let me promise you one thing. When you close your eyes in death, you will open them to look into the face of perfect love. Perfect love. Well, what about my doctrinal purities? What about my right or wrong and how I live my life? Listen to me carefully. I promise you that you will open your eyes on the other side of life and death, and you will look into the face of pure, unmitigated, uncompromised, unarmed, unconditional love, and that love will take you up in his arms. That there is no, it says in 1 John 4:17 that we'll have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. Did you hear that? The one who fears has not been perfected in love. Any of my fears have to do with a lack of being loved or loving. Love is the answer. Another way to roll this around in your thoughts and meditate, challenge you to think of it this way. The opposite of love isn't hate. The opposite of love is fear. Where fear lives, love is not. Where love is, fear is not. I choose love over fear. When I feel the stranglehold of fear on me, I have to recognize there's a place right there where I am being invited to be loved. Be loved by God, to be loved by those around me, that love will cast out fear. And it says it just that clearly. I wonder sometimes how we've missed that. How did that get past us for so long if we call ourselves people who really do believe the B-I-B-L-E? Yes, that's the book for me. Well, right there in that book for me and you, it says that love, perfect love, casts out fear. It displaces it. It's like a boulder that falls into a puddle. It disperses the puddle and the boulder takes over. Wherever love sets, fear flees. Wherever love is, anxiety uproots. Wherever love is, I am set out of my nervousness, my panicky priority of life, and I'm put on a path toward productivity, a path of freedom. I believe that one of the least understood, one of the and yet most important purposes in life is to love. Ask anybody, give me a good definition of love. I promise you, most people are going to stumble around, give you some feeling thoughts, and some might even have some like dictionary definitions. But I've discovered, and it's true for me too, that so much of our definitions, so many of our definitions of love are really fairly paper thin. They're not as deep as they could or should be. So I've really set myself on a course as a lifelong pastor, minister, preacher, teacher. I've set myself on a course to make sure that I'm plumbing the depth of love, making sure that my grasp and my reach for what it really is practical but purposeful, and it shapes me. Love is an art. Love is an art form. Love isn't just a formula, but love is an art. It's something that we learn through practice. We practice love just like a doctor would practice medicine. When a doctor practices medicine, the doctor acknowledges that he or she is imperfect. They're reaching for purposes to bring healing when they may not have all the answers at the reach. Love is the same way. We may not have all the answers at our reach. We may not have everything really defined in a science, but at least we're practicing it. We're exercising ourselves toward love. Here's a couple of ideas that I want to discuss with you today. And here's, first of all, we need each of us to take an inventory of our love assets. What are the assets of love in our life? Take an inventory of who is it in your life who loved you in a way that was life-changing for you? Who was it in your life who said some things out of love to you that really did, as 1 John 4 talks about, it cast the fear out of your life? I'll give you an example for me. In fourth grade, my parents had moved a little bit through the city of Milwaukee where I grew up, and I changed elementary schools. I went from kindergarten through third grade. I was a rolling wreck. I'm not kidding you. My behavior in school was terrible. I got suspended routinely. I was constantly in fights. I look back at my report cards from those days, and I realize my poor teachers were trying to figure out, what do we do with Randy Dean? Well, that was kindergarten through third grade. Then we moved to another neighborhood in Milwaukee, and from third grade forward, I went to the same couple of schools right there. But in fourth grade, I met a new teacher by the name of Miss Gallagher. Miss Gallagher was a seasoned lady. She was a single. My dad and his old-fashioned way called her an old maid teacher. That was his way of defining her. To me, she was just this single-minded person, as I discovered in fourth grade. Miss Gallagher, when she was introduced to me and I found out that she would be my teacher, I remember Mom nervously handing her some reports from my previous school about my behavior problems, and Miss Gallagher looked at it all, and she looked at me right in the eye, and she said, these magic words, "That was then, and this is now." It changed my life. So Ms. Gallagher, for me, is a love asset. This lady cast the fear out of me in that very moment, though I couldn't have told you that then if my life had depended on it. I just know that when I heard her say, "That was then, this is now," my little fourth grade brain said, "Well, let's live up to this lady's expectation." Now I can tell you many years later that was love in play. That was love in action. That was love being spoken to me, and love cast out my fear. So take an inventory of your life. Ask yourself about your love assets. Who in your life demonstrated love, and how did they demonstrate it? Might have been a grandparent, might have been a mother, might have been a dad, might have been a sibling, might have been an aunt or an uncle. But whoever it is, or maybe a pastor, boy, there's a there's an outrageous notion. Maybe a pastor in your life loved you. Maybe a rabbi, a priest, somebody loved you in a way that instructed you what love looked like and how love acted. So take an inventory of your love assets. Find out who in your life taught you about love. Another part of what I want to challenge you with today is to discuss with somebody else, maybe a professional. I think it's important to find somebody that you trust as a counselor. Find somebody, and it might be a clergy member, might be somebody who is a leader in the faith community that you trust. And you discuss with them who represents and what represents your love deficits. So follow me now on this. I'm discussing with you, taking an inventory of your love assets. Who built love into your life? How did they build love into your life? But you should also discuss with yourself or another person or with a group of friends who and what have contributed, or should I say, withdrawn from your love bank. Who's created love deficits? What has created love deficits in your life? So as I can imagine with you, some of our love deficits have to do with parenting skills that were neglected in our life. We were taught to fear rather than to be loved. We were taught to be afraid. When your father gets home, boy, you're going to catch it. So we're taught not to be loved. We're taught to be afraid. Or we saw behaviors that were defining relationships in a way that were robbing you of a great image or a greater image of love. Take some stock of that. Take some inventory of your love deficits. Make sure that you aren't just blaming somebody out of some empty scope of reference or bitterness or anger, but do make sure that you're honest with yourself. There was a love deficit there. I can tell you that I look back at various relationships in my life, and some of them very close to me, that I recognize now that I spent years incubating in the deficits that were happening there. People close to me were defining love by their actions in a way that was stealing my ability to be loved and to love. I had to restructure myself by going back and inventorying my love assets, the people who taught me love, the people who demonstrated and modeled love for me, that brought me out of the deficits that were also being exercised in my life. Everybody listening to me right now has been affected by those two opposite poles. You've either had some great assets in love, or you've had some great and terrible and even frightening love deficits. Taking stock of that, looking it square in the eye without, again, obsessing over it or being trapped in a rabbit hole discovery pattern, but just honestly looking at it and making sure that you know that this is what defined love for you, and this is how love was added to you or taken away. Scientists, researchers, psychologists tell us that all of us from age 0 to 4, we've had a formation of life developed in us that stays with us all of our life in some form or another. From the time you're born until you're 4 years of age, you're learning. I'm learning what to expect of the big people around us. These giants that care for us, hold us, kiss us, feed us, protect us. And if they're not feeding, if they're not protecting, if they are rough and abusive, then we're learning something right there. Or if they are adding with tender care and compassion for the little human that they hold in their arms, well, then that's developing a love asset. I don't believe for one minute that those assets or deficits are necessarily permanent, but I do believe they are defining. So if we're going to live the art form of love, that's what I am proposing here. If we live the art form of love in our life, then we must have some concrete knowledge of how we define it, how it looks to us, and how it is exercised through us. As I said at the start of the broadcast, 1 John 4:16-19 tells us that God is love and that perfect love casts out fear. Well, and perfect love implies that there may be some imperfect love. If perfect love casts out fear, then imperfect love is imperfectly removing fear from our life, and we ought to move ourselves towards something that looks more like a perfect love. Hope that makes sense. I hope you're being challenged by this. There's no other higher goal or purpose for your living than to be loved and to love. Our life is in existence to be, we're alive to love. That's the subtitle of this broadcast. I'm a No BS Bishop. We're alive to love. We must give ourselves to the science, to the art, to the knowledge, to the exercise, formation of what love is to us, through us, and for us. Mother Teresa said one time, none of us can do great things. We're not on this earth to every day do some great deed. We may do a great thing now and then, but none of us can always do great things. But she added, all of us can do small things with great love. All of us can do small things with great love. Let me tell you about an epiphany I had in my life some years ago. I wrote about it in my book, Radiance. And it had to do with the simplicity of shopping carts. Ah, yeah, shopping carts. Shopping carts in a Walmart parking lot or a grocery store parking lot, for instance. I used to have a bad habit of driving into a parking lot, looking for a parking space, and see a stray shopping cart sitting in a parking space that would otherwise be a good place to park my car. And I would look at that shopping cart and I would cuss and fume and I would just mutter under my breath, oh, lazy people. Oh, there's a shopping cart corral just, 20 feet away or across the parking lot here. They could just walk that cart there and put it where it belongs. But no, you leave your shopping cart right where I need to park my car. So one day I was cussing the shopping cart and cursing under my breath and fuming about lazy people. And it wasn't in a sentence form, but a strong internal voice, which I know to be the voice of God to me, said and asked me, again, not in a formation of a sentence, but in a full impression that I knew it to be God. And this was the question, how's this working for you? I immediately recognized I'm living out of a negative purpose. I'm living out of hatred. I'm living out of cursing. I'm living out of fuming and foaming at the mouth about people and their behaviors with shopping carts. And so it occurred to me immediately, well, I'm one guy. I can park my car over on another spot, go back to the spot where that shopping cart is, and I can move it where it belongs. So I started to do that. Well, then along my little process of moving shopping carts, instead of cussing shopping carts, I started out of love, doing a small deed, moving a shopping cart where it belonged. Then that another impression came upon me, again, not in a full sentence form, but in a full impression internally for me that I knew to be the voice of God, and that was this. Who will be the next person who will be pushing the shopping cart? Who is the next person that's going to come along while they shop? And my mind started to imagine as I was pushing a shopping cart along, and I could imagine a single mom, struggling to pull her three or four children out of the van or car, and she's trying to get them managed while she has to go shopping, and she's trying to get one of the kids that's small enough to get in the shopping cart and the others to stay in tow and not get out running around the parking lot. And I could imagine a single mom trying to just live her life and have the chaos of these children to manage in that store or in that parking lot. And so I began to pray for whoever the next single mom would be that would be pushing the shopping cart. I prayed for that anonymous face, that anonymous single mom. Well, then there was a cascade of ideas that floated through me that, like, what if there's a somebody coming into this parking lot, grabs a shopping cart, and they've just faced the most disappointing moment of their life. Maybe they just came from the doctor and they got a terrible diagnosis for their health. Maybe they're just finishing an ugly and just furious divorce that has just eaten their energy and emotions. And so I started to pray for people like that. And while I was pushing that shopping cart and others as time went on, it became a challenge for me to bless those shopping carts. Yeah, I know it sounds silly, but for me it was this challenge to bless this shopping cart with the peace and the purity and especially the love of God, so that somebody who was pushing the shopping cart down the road in time might even feel the positive energy, the positive vibe, the sense of love that was coming from one somebody who stopped cussing shopping carts and started blessing shopping carts. That's my story. You know, I can't give you enormous results. I can't give you statistics that prove that exercise for me has been valuable. But I can tell you this one thing: for me, it's changed me. It's changed my heart. It's caused me to view the fact that somebody left a shopping cart in a parking lot in a stray manner, perhaps because they were just having a terrible, awful day. Maybe because they were so weary, bone tired, that they just couldn't take another step. Maybe it's because somebody was so sick, all they could do was leave the shopping cart there and drop into their car. I don't know. I can assume all the negativity in the world I want. But on the other side of that, perhaps I need to learn to do small things with great love, like Mother Teresa said. That became and has become and continues to be my habit, especially at Walmart. You know, that's the big place for for most of us to go shopping often. I discovered one day, here's a funny story on that, and I'll wrap the broadcast up today. But I was doing that one time and pushing the shopping cart into the store, and as I was praying for people in need and asking for love to well up in them, I looked down at the handle of the shopping cart and I saw two words on the handle printed right there for everybody to see, and it said, "Thank you." Well, of course, it said, "Thank you for shopping at Walmart," but all I saw was, "Thank you." I really am kind of a sap. I cry easy, and I welled up with tears because it seemed to me that in some way or another, God was whispering back to me through those two words on that shopping cart handle that he was grateful that I had changed my attitude. I had turned my vision away from cursing to blessing. I had turned my vision away from hatred to love. And I was exercising in some small way a means of casting out fear with as much love as I knew how to reach for in any given moment. Perfect love casts out fear. And the first place it'll cast out fear from is the person that's giving that love, the person that's attempting to reach for a perfect or a perfecting love. Remember I said earlier, we're not any of us on any given day fully perfect with love, but I'll tell you what, if we practice, we can practice toward a perfect love. And that ought to be the goal of each and every one of you. So let me review. Take an inventory of your assets in love. Take an inventory of your deficits in love. Remember that the assets have taught you to love well. The deficits have robbed from you. They've taken away your capacity for loving well. Make sure that when you do that, that you recognize that you can practice yourself toward a better way of loving. Love is an art form. Love isn't something that any one of us are going to have down perfectly in any given day, but every one of us can practice it. Every one of us can grow larger places inside of us for being a person of love and to be a lover of all people. When I recognize that love is an art form, I'm free to be creative. I'm not just living some wooden formula. I'm living a creative ability to dream, to think, to imagine. What would love look like in this particular place? What would love sound like? What would love? How would love behave in this spot? There are so many opportunities every day to love. Almost daily you hear on the news some event of in traffic that we commonly call in the vernacular a road rage. What if there was a revolution of people who had a love response to traffic problems? What if we all in some way reached for love rather than for rage? I would propose to you that if more of us reached for love, if more of us reached for a perfecting love, then there would be a whole lot less fear in the culture we live in. So if you join me late, I'm Randy Dean. I'm a no BS bishop. I'm tired of religious BS. I'm tired of churchy language that is only speaking to a group of people that find their way to pews. I'm not opposed to that. I love pews. I love church. I've been a leader of church and church organizations all of my adult life. But I'm tired of us settling for the BS, settling for things that are not the greater value, as love is the greatest value. That if we love well, then we have lived well. If we have loved well, then we have lived well. 1 John 4:16-19 is what I took and am taking for the passage of scripture that I'm sharing with all of you. And I'm telling the audience here that there's one reason to be alive. And that is to be alive to love. Discovering love, practicing love, distributing love to strangers, to neighbors, to family, to complete strangers that we may meet, making sure that everybody who's seen my face knows that love is there to cast out fear. Thanks for joining here today on No BS Bishop, Alive to Love. I do treasure the fact that you have chosen to spend a little time with me in these broadcasts. I'm going to be trying to and continue to construct these broadcasts toward a podcast. It'll get there. It'll happen. But for right now on WPCA, Saturdays and Sundays, Saturdays at 5:30, Sundays at 9:30, I'm here and I'm honored that you chose to spend a little time with me, No BS Bishop, Alive to Love. Happy trails, everybody. Go out there and live to love.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.